Okay, and welcoming to the show, Danilo from Galaxy of Film joins us tonight. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, anytime. Curtis Bashir is speaking up from Indie Podcasts Unite. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I cannot complain. Okay,
That
so.
complaint?
Nope. Not tonight. Not yet. Yes, no, maybe. So, yeah, we just kind of just rank, just kind of just the streaming platforms. Like, what are the pluses? What are the negatives? What's a common problem kind of faced with them? What's a common highlight that you get with them? Because we are in this age now where no one seems to want physical media unless it's like a Blu-ray remaster. And then at the same time, streaming sites keep taking down stuff that they've just added. So it's an interesting thing. There's some, just a highlight for everyone. You know, there's some big ones. AMC has launched recently the horror spotlight of one, Shudder. Still the three big ones are Netflix, Amazon Prime, and just even Vudu, and Hulu has continued to thrive, which is co-owned by Universal and Fox, and basically stuff that the guys don't even want to air on their cable channels even goes on there now. So it's interesting highlight for all involved in that. For people who just don't want to pop in a disc or a tape, that the streaming is just so much more convenient. And at the same time, that's what people seem to know so many famous movies and shows from is what's currently on there that month. Danilo, how did you come into it? Like, just start the streaming game?
So for
I started when Hulu was just a baby. So,
okay, for me, we started very late in the game. It was up to my parents for wanting to get streaming. My dad always took me to Blockbuster. That was our kind of spiel. It wasn't until maybe 2018 when we got Netflix, and that's when we started streaming. I was 18 at the time, so like before then, it would be you go to a library, you rent a movie. You go to
Right.
Blockbuster when they were still around, you rent a movie. Or you just go out and buy one from Best Buy, you know, like that's it. If you want to watch a movie, like that's how you did it. It wasn't like really something I grew up with. I didn't even do like the Netflix sending in the discs thing. I know people who still are sending in discs. I don't know how that's still possible, but I guess Netflix never dropped that.
It's
But yeah,
weird because we got Redbox and now they've started streaming with ads, and you're just like, wow, okay. So again, just there's possibilities for both. Like, physical's not going away, streaming's definitely not going away. And so what's next?
For sure. And then also Prime. Mom got Prime, and that was included with the Prime subscription for Amazon. So my mom started to watch Prime then. Then we obviously started to get more and more. And then now sitting here in 2022, I think we have every single one that you have to pay for. I don't think we don't have a single one. Maybe like Shudder, and that's really about it. But we have every single one. Netflix, it's funny because I don't really use Netflix a lot. I use the newer ones instead of the one that I started the game with. But yeah.
Right? It's just like, and all of them seem to vary by month. There's going to be slow months where, like, Hulu, I'm pretty much just watching classic TV on there. Like,
Okay. Yeah.
St. Elsewhere in the Practice. And I'm occasionally watching some of their newer movies, and there's been a few keepers, and there's been some where I'm like, oof, that was rough. And Netflix has always kind of been that way for a while, where it's just like, okay, there's some really good movies, and then that they've created, and then there's some really, oh yeah, there's a reason this is basically direct to video made for TV, because no one is would have paid to see that in the theater. it's
Yeah, for sure. For sure, when
it's
it
a
comes to Netflix.
game, because yeah, you don't you never know what you're in for, and but at the same time, you're just so glad that you have these options, that you don't have to spend what you would spend at a movie theater for something that probably would have disappointed. And same thing with even the TV show. If you don't want to buy the whole expensive package, the DVD or Blu-ray set, you can you know, again, just stream it all and know if the show is right for you that way. But
yeah, for sure.
The other gain is that there's a lot of foreign shows on Prime and Netflix that is like you can only get on there. Like if you wanted to get in the States, you would probably have to invest in, you know, some multi region, you know, Blu-ray players, you know. Because some of them there is no physical version of. That's what's so wild. So it's like if they were to just randomly crash or take it off there, it would probably disappear into the abyss. Curtis, let you weigh in.
Well, one I haven't heard mentioned yet is Apple TV Plus.
Yes, that's more newer, and that and Peacock, yeah.
Yeah. Now, out of all the streaming services out there, Apple TV Plus is, I think, produces the best quality shows and films. Because, I mean, they had Coda, which won Best Picture. They, did you see The Morning Show?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen a lot of great sci-fi and comedy shows on Apple, including Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
And it's interesting how basically they bought A24 production companies, so they're going to change how that's done, but buy a lot of the big festival movies. And then they got a new TV show with Sam Jackson, Somebody Gray, that's getting some acclaim. So they started slow, but they're definitely paying off because it's just like, you know, Peacock is doing a few different things where it's like, hey, we got your favorite, you know, comedy shows, but we also got extended versions of the episode never before seen. So I'm like, okay, interesting.
Yeah, Peacock, they brought Saved by the Bell back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Another one I like is HBO Max.
That's my favorite. I have a quarrel with them ever since they did that. They did that last year when they did that. We're going to release the same movies at the same time. And they screwed up, in my opinion, they screwed all those directors out of a lot of things. It sounded like it was just something they, you know, did behind their backs. But I love that streaming service. I always am watching things on it. I think they have the best content.
It's definitely what I started doing during the pandemic because it was like, okay, so even, you know, I'll be able to catch up on their latest, you know, Warner Brothers own movies, but I'll also be able to watch some of their classics, you know, shows and all there that are very well remastered for streaming. And, you know, and that's just it. If you don't like a new thing, that's okay. Something good will eventually come along. Kimmy was especially a highlight of their latest movies for Steven Soderbergh. I don't know if anyone heard about that one, but it's totally recommended.
I did hear about that. It was on Letterboxd. It was in like the top 10 for quite some time. I just didn't know that was HBO. I never got around to watching it.
Yeah, totally recommend. It's going to blow your mind. But yeah, so it's like Peacock, Apple, and Max relate to the
HBO Max. You know, Conan, he's bringing his talk show back to HBO Max.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
You know when it's coming out? I haven't seen anything about it.
Basically he's still doing the podcast for now, but yeah, I think you can definitely expect that midway through this summer, maybe next year.
Well, that's going to be good. Also, Ellen, she's bringing her shows to HBO Max.
Interesting. That makes sense. Cause she did a lot of
her now stand-up. The only one they need to bring over is James Corden. Their shows are ending. They all need to go to HBO Max.
John Oliver went to HBO Max, and he was the first ones, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah, because, like, you see some of his stuff still on the regular, you know, cable and streaming site, but, yeah, I think he has some exclusives on there, so.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on HBO Max, too. I thought it was just HBO.
That's just it. It takes stuff that's both on the channel and that's exclusive, like, that premieres on there first. Like,
he's got exclusive stuff on that, too?
I think so, because like Raised by Wolves is also one, whereas like that was
Raised by Wolves is good.
Yeah, it was Ridley Scott show, and so it's interesting how
Oh, are you saying more?
They're always full of surprises, and I think that's just it. Surprises are their greatest asset at this point. Because, like, I know MIDI, I'm a horror fan, but not to the point where I really care for Shudder, because everything I've seen on there, I've already seen years ago.
Yeah, but Shudder's just horror films, I think.
It is, but my issue is just, like, some of the original content they try to produce, and they're kind of more interesting if you just want to find just festival circuit movies that went under the radar that would entertain. So it's interesting because I know others who swear by it, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Some of that's almost as bad as what I get on Netflix. it's an interesting predicament, and I think it's also to the point where you don't know what you're in for. So that's what you get going in. You never know what you're going to get until you get it. And sometimes you really like what you see, and other times you're just kind of astonished. You're like, ooh, I really don't like this content. I better just take a break. It's interesting in that, again, a lot of stuff that we've seen years ago, you know, it just keeps changing services. So I'm seeing, like, Netflix bought a lot of stuff that was on Crackle, and Crackle was interesting when they first emerged because, again, it was just kind of a mixture of whatever movies were owned by Sony, and then you wondered how they were even making money, but some of their shows were kind of just fun, relaxing, junky fun. And they're still going, and you're always surprised when they do come out with something big, and then they kind of disappear for a bit. So it's, I think what we're learning here is it's okay to kind of be third or even 10th place as long as the option's there and you have at least a few shows that people are talking about.
Yeah. And that reminds me, you're saying streaming service like Shudder, you join and then you don't know if it's going to get better or worse. I felt that with Apple TV Plus. I mean, I joined it. It had barely any shows, but each show and film they made, you know, Tom Hanks is a Greyhound?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the best films I've ever seen, and it came out right to the start.
Oh, wow.
Yep, to start the show.
I agree with you there. Apple TV Plus doesn't produce a lot of content.
Yeah.
When they do, like, it hit, like, it looks cinematic. Everything, even if it's not a good show, that
one they were kind of saving their best for last, kind of. They're just like, let's get the technology enhanced and then let's focus on bit by bit while everyone else, like you guys say, wouldn't get their ducks in a row, would produce too much, spend too much, and then just the results were just intangible bad.
They're the opposite of Netflix, I think. Netflix keeps producing more and more content, which is why I don't really like Netflix. I mean, I don't really like Netflix.
They got lots of money to burn, and they're just basically, they're kind of like Amazon. They got a bunch of Wall Street, you know, savings, but they aren't making use of it. Because, like, Prime has now kind of made it where, with all their shows, you gotta, again, they kind of know Netflix better than Netflix, where you gotta make everyone want to watch every single episode of your show. And I've been very entertained by their latest shows. I mean, they bought The Expanse, which was a great show that Sci-Fi Channel dumped. And then aside from doing, you know, Netflix has been doing that for a while, but, like, they have all these other addicting shows like Them and Bosch and Modern Love, which are just a lot of fun. And that you never know if it's going to be an anthology or just, again, just a very articulate, very well connected giant story told in 9 acts, and they just make great use of their time, it seems.
What do you think, speaking of that, of Space Force with Steve Carell?
Oh, that was a Netflix venture. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by that, but I know others who found it very funny the more they thought about it.
I quite liked it. Then I found out a few days ago it got canceled.
See, this is my problem with Netflix. They're not committed to their shows.
Like, and they some wait people for like the timer that, to they, wait out, yeah.
And they canceled it. They did that with Mindhunter, which everyone still wants that season 4, because it was a good show, and they just canceled it.
They did it with Sense8, and then it's like they started realizing, uh-oh, we got to negotiate with the creators and all these other contracts, and that's just it. They do what every businessman who's not professional does. They just wait out the clock and then wait to tell the news before they can retaliate with lawsuits or what have you.
They even tried to save money on the second season. Instead of shooting in Los Angeles, they shot in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying this. I think they should have made Space Force go on longer and canceled Stranger Things.
Okay. You know what? No, I agree with that. I agree with that. I do. I do, because I don't think Stranger... Like, we have now waited, what, 4 years?
It's going to be six before it stops. Two more seasons.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous to me. These kids started when they were, like, 11 or 10. Now look at them. Like, they can buy a house at this point. You know, maybe not a house, but, you know, they get their first car, they can go to college, do all that. But, yeah, I think Space Force does have some potential there to have been maybe the next Office, the next Parks and Rec. You know, a good comedy that they had, an original comedy. And, yeah, I think Stranger Things should have ended before, because I think they could have wrapped it up earlier than they say they wanted to.
That's just it. But don't make an exception to the rule. Like, keep, you know, canceling all these other shows and then saying, oh, but these two, they can stay. We'll make an exception to you.
That reminds me of The Flash. That's on CW. That should have been canceled long ago.
I never got into the CW. The CW was something I never ventured into.
Well, that's probably a good thing, because I think they don't know when to cancel their shows. They only just realized they need to cancel DC Legends of Tomorrow a few days ago.
Yeah, HBO Max has been a saver in that they've been uploading some of those DC shows, and then some of those are just like, yeah, just people... It's just as bad as when you're at a job and your boss doesn't have the sense to tell you, hey, I don't like what you're doing. They just say, hey, I just want to, you know, I want to fire you. It's just, that's kind of what we've gotten into corporate-wise, where we're just seeing a lot of these companies just, they don't know how to save face. They don't know how to just say, hey, we're just not interested in that content anymore. You know, we've changed hands and, you know, the vice president of programming or what have you. And it's just like, just be honest, just tell people, and, or better yet, no fair complaining about subscribers if you just don't want to give them what they want, you know. And people will, like you guys say, start revolting and leaving platforms if they just keep, if they keep doing the CBS or Fox or NBC format of just canceling everything after 10 episodes, then streaming has no more worth than regular network programming, you know. It's just,
and that could be why Netflix lost 200,000 subscribers.
Totally. They just keep on disappointing. And I know some of it's bad, because I keep seeing memes where people are making, oh, you know, I spent, you know, 2 hours just looking for something to watch. And I think the other thing is they just don't give you a good enough synopsis or trailer for anything. Anything I would find out, I would always go to like sites that compare your interests and say, here are some shows that if you like this, you might like. I'm like, it's just ridiculous that I have to go to a outside information just to figure out what the main host can't bother to sell. You know, it's just, it's frustrating. You have to do all this extra homework to see if you might like something or should spend time with it. It's just nonstop.
And Netflix prices keeps increasing, but I'm not seeing anything of better return.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
We're on all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Yeah. You know, I'm not seeing anything that's like, okay, they just upped it to $19.99 for, you know, the premium, whatever. I'm not seeing any benefits besides that, to that price hike. You know, like, they're not adding, you know, a stellar new show. They're not producing a stellar new show or movie. They're not signing on actors or anything like that for Netflix exclusive deals. So it's very, like, counterintuitive to be raising the price but never offer me anything more to that.
Movies that are on there, everyone's seen. Anyone who hasn't maybe might be, you know,
just, yeah, and movie game. And it's still the same movies that they're like, oh, we got rid of it, but just kidding, it's coming back in the next 2 or 3 months.
They'll fake you out for a while. Hulu used to do that, and I think they finally just said, no, we're no longer are we going to do the whole leaving in 10 days thing. We're going to buy it for a year and then we're going to get rid of it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's more viable and more acceptable for some, for a consumer, you know?
Totally. And Netflix, if they really want to get to that point, then they should just get rid of stuff that they don't want to pay the license for anymore instead of just, you know, acting like, oh, we're paying too much. It's like, look at your budget, what you can afford. And it's just getting so annoying how, again, for a while, people would just want to go to sleep watching a show they've seen for the billionth time. And it's just like, TV should be something you actually want to make time for, not I fell asleep because out of boredom, you know, or you're watching Breaking Bad on there for the billionth time. It's like, no, you should have some legit great shows on there, and people should actually want to make it a big event series, because, like, cable TV is still kicking. People are cutting the cord, but they're still producing new content every summer because they can't afford not to. That's their brand. That's always been their brand.
One thing that I enjoyed with streaming, and I think it's been a big plus, is the bundle that Disney put out. Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus, all for like $20 with that's the ad-free version. I think that's the, like, if you are to get a streaming service, I think that's the one to get. You know, you get your Marvel, you get your IPs, because, you know, no one else is destroying the IPs like Disney is. And you get you get some movies and some TV shows with Hulu, for sure. And obviously, if you're a sports guy, you get sports. And for me, that's like the thing I'm always on is Hulu. I do enjoy Hulu's content. I think they have some good TV shows. But movies, it's for sure HBO Max. It's for HBO Max 100%.
1,000%, because Paramount also waited a while to get into the game, and the whole, oh, let's launch as CBS too early. Oh, let's relaunch as Paramount. That really hurt them. And much like you guys said, when they launched, you didn't see too much improvement like you did with Apple and Peacock after a few months. And I think finally they're kind of getting their groove, but by adding more classic stuff, you know, from their vault. So if you don't want to watch their hit TV shows like, you know, NCIS or the various new exclusive Star Trek shows, then you can probably watch classics like the Indiana Jones saga and other stuff they happen to own. But it was just so frustrating because, like, you know, when they first started, you know, it was also kind of like, I was seeing movies on there is like, okay, that's been on Amazon Prime forever, or it's been on a free to use platform like Plex or Tubi. And I don't know about you guys, but me and many others, we use Tubi quite a lot because we'll always find a cult movie or TV show on there. And again, I pay nothing and the ads are literally half a minute. You can't lose.
Yeah.
If they're funny, they don't repeat really all that much. And Plex, same kind of thing. I'm finding stuff on there. I'm like, man, here's some shows I always meant to get into, but for whatever reason, they've just been taken off nonstop on Prime and Netflix. So this is basically anything that was rejected but still has a cult audience. You can find it on there, and it's I spend just as much time as I do on there as I do on Hulu and Prime and Max. So it's interesting how, yeah, Netflix used to be kind of number one and then got a big head, and here we are now where we're looking at what we could have versus what we do have. And it stinks that no one really thought this through. And post-pandemic, it kind of became even more aggravating because you're like, I just need something to watch, you know, before I, you know, eat and crash for the night.
Actually, that's a good point. Over the pandemic, everyone kept saying streaming is a new cinema. No one's going to go out to watch a movie anymore. They're just going to stay at home and stream on Netflix.
Some of the naysayers, they seem to be the same kind who were like, we're going to, you know, TV will be forever gone. It's like, no, just like radio, there will always be someone who wants, again, just four channels or a simple basic cable package. You know, it's just, it's like people don't realize they can have options, you know, they can have their cake and eat it too, but they always kind of want to. It's like sports to them in that they want rivalries. They want one to wrestle out the other. And
they were wrong. They were really wrong about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, movies won. The box office is going strong. Everyone's going out to watch films again because everyone's been stuck at home. They just want to go out with an audience and watch it.
Totally.
Yeah. And with Netflix, that's also why I don't like Netflix. They create not good, not bad. They create okay shows and films, but they're never really released in a movie theater.
Right, and then they're trying to compete with the Oscars, and it's like, no, bullshit. You showed it 1 week in a theater, and fortunately, I'm glad the awards called them on that bullshit and started making it to where it's like, if you want to compete, you better release it for more than just a month, you know? So I think they're going to figure it out. It's like, okay, we can't play our corporate games anymore, our office politics.
And that's where Apple's doing well. They released The Tragedy of Macbeth. They released that for around a month or two, I believe.
And it helps that they're also buying the movies after they played at festivals. So that's already a win-win. And that it's just like, that's what you got to do. I mean, anytime you're at a giant event, there's often a talent scout or a producer who's, you know, in charge of marketing or what have you, and they're looking for stuff to feature as part of their platform. So it's just like Netflix didn't seem to have that. They just had a bunch of guys who had money. So it kind of reminded you almost of kind of these video on demand movies that were starring the likes of Morgan Freeman and Robert De Niro and Bruce Willis that caused some of them to retire, where you're just like, man, people really get taken advantage of when they just see the dollar signs. They don't read the terms of use, and they don't realize, man, you really are killing your value. Because like, that's kind of what we've had to notice too with filmmakers and actors, and they're forgetting that they market themselves as a brand. Mm-hmm. But once you injure the brand, then there's just no coming back from that. You got to just respect yourself the first time out. And so if Netflix, yeah, wants to recover anything, I guarantee you, we're all going to just say, screw it, you know? Just
what they've done, everyone is complaining. The reason they're not on Netflix anymore is because of the price. When you choose an option, you have, I think, the basic option, or you have a premium option, or the best one. Everyone always goes for the best because the basic option is bad quality. It comes with ads, I think, and you're unable to really share it with other people.
That was a predicament, and I'm sure they might even start restricting how many titles you can download to your phone. And
yeah, and if you share your login information, you have to, they're aware people doing that. Apparently they're going to charge you extra for that.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, they need to make it cheaper, not more expensive.
Yeah, and so who do you think is going to win out? Give us your top five that, based on what you've been watching and seeing, that are just kind of probably going to overtake the year, because obviously Netflix not going to be in that top five. So I'll let you go, Danilo. So Max is number one on you. What's going to be number two through five?
I think Disney Plus will be number two. I know they're supposed to launch that Disney Stars, because they own Fox. So they're going to want to make money off of that. And mm-hmm. they know all that they have is just kids and IPs right now on there. So they're going to probably launch that Disney Stars thing this summer, sometime down the road. And it might be at the end of the year. So I think it'll be HBO Max, Disney. As much as I hate to say it, I still think Netflix is going to be up there. Even if they're losing people, it's like the poor man's streaming service.
Well, I get that. I'm just saying, I just mean in terms of quality.
Quality? Apple TV for sure.
Okay.
I think Apple TV is doing everything right.
Max, Disney.
Yeah. Hulu. Hulu's going strong. They're getting big stars. They just had that one with Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas, that Deep Water. It wasn't the best, but it's still big stars in there.
They're doing their bigger movies than they used to. So I'll put Prime in there because they're working with Blumhouse and doing a bunch of exclusive events. And again, they're also ad free. So this is everyone has their ups and downs and exclusives that they take advantage of. And it's like, I think Netflix is going to be number 10 or 11 realistically for people. And honorable mentions, definitely Tubi and Plex. You just can't beat a free streaming platform like that. It used to be free platforms were a joke because they were just movies that no one really wanted to see or spend money on. And those have come such a far, so far to today, in that now they have hysterical ads, and they got something for everybody. It's like, hey, here's a little syndicated show that everyone used to watch, but you can watch this for shits and giggles, and here's this other fun movie that no other streaming platform seems to have for whatever reason.
IMDb TV, the free version, actually has some good films as well. And that does come with like a few ads here and there, but they do have some stuff. I know they had The Wolf of Wall Street on there for free to watch, and Donnie Darko. I watched those on there, and you're right. Like the ads were like 30 seconds to a minute, not even. And they were hilarious. Like, they're ads you're never going to see anywhere else probably, but they did their job.
Yeah.
You got a good movie out of it though too.
I can definitely confirm with you that. So for clarification, my dad does marketing for websites and everything. He says those are actually called over the top, like over the desktop. And that's totally the thing where the ads are made exclusively for the internet. You're not going to find them on a cable or a radio or even a billboard. So I was like, that's wild. So I think that's just it. I think everyone has said is like, we got something exclusive. You're not going to find. And like you say, IMDb, the ads seem to just have very big bloopers on my end, but I think they weren't too bad on the mobile version, but that's just it too. It's like free is free. You can suffer through a few ads if it's free. So, and like you say, it's a cool option to know that's like, hey, a movie that I'm hearing talked about on my app, I can go watch right now with the click of a button.
Yeah.
Well, any other closing thoughts, Curtis?
I'll rank it quickly. Number one, I'm going to go with Disney Plus.
Okay.
When I first heard about Disney Plus, I was amazed because it's every single Disney show and film ever made in one streaming platform for a cheap price. Then you got Marvel as well, Star Wars. I mean, you got it all. And Disney keeps buying more and more things. So that brings me to number two, Apple TV Plus. But my question is, who will buy who? Apple buy Disney, or will Disney buy Apple?
I think Apple has more money. I think Apple's like on a different stratosphere when it comes to money.
Disney had to bail out a lot of loans just to buy the superhero stuff. So, yeah, if anyone else were to buy them at this point, then oh man, if it wouldn't be Apple, then I don't think Facebook has enough money.
The metaverse.
Maybe Elon Musk will buy it.
Elon.
Oh God.
Tesla Plus.
Tesla Plus. There you go. Tesla. People will hate buy just to see what crappy programming he puts out. But yeah, Facebook is like, they tried their streaming platform and it just much like Quibi, they just sold a lot of their assets to Vudu, and some of them have even popped up on Peacock. So it's like, interesting. It's just like, anything that doesn't have a home eventually pops up elsewhere. but I'm with you guys. I think your estimates are very on the money. I think obviously people will have a Netflix in still the top five because they just have enough people from the get go who haven't canceled yet. But I think
Netflix is going to go down. Apparently, they're going to lose 2 million subscribers this year. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's what they said.
Yeah, but that's just what's so ridiculous too, is they know it and they don't want to do anything about it.
Except make it more expensive.
And obviously, yes, Shudder will be high ranking, but it's mainly just for like horror completists. And me, I don't find it all that rewarding because I've seen everything there many times, and it would be better served if you were a beginner just getting into movies that you don't have access to and you're never did the Blu-ray game. But I'm sure they'll increase because people like to watch Joe Bob and other talk shows. And what I really just got to bet money on is Paramount better up its game. So it's new, it's original movies. They better kick ass. They better not be stuff that they just throw away, like when they first launched too prematurely. So anyone who wants to see their original Star Trek shows and their other shows that are airing right now, but they've cut the cord, that's a plus. But again, like they, other than a few obscure movies in their vault that they've had there, they've really got to increase their movie repertoire.
Netflix to me is the funniest thing before we end the discussion, because they have pushed now, I think for 3 years in a row, a film for Best Picture. They have put so much marketing behind a movie, Power of the Dog, Roma, and The Irishman. And they lost to Apple TV Plus, who I never saw an ad for Coda once. Maybe like, and I only saw it when I was watching like Ted Lasso or the other movies that come out there. So that blows my mind. That just speaks to the quality that Apple has over Netflix as well. Because Netflix is just like, you know, just to echo everyone's
saying. And Apple has something for everyone, much like exactly. Max. There's an M. Night Shyamalan horror series. There's a Stephen King adaptation. There's For All Mankind and Sea, and Foundation. All three of these are great sci-fi shows because they remind you of the stuff you grew up loving, and it compliments people who want to see just kind of a big, large-scale thing that is basically a 4-hour movie, and you're just like, yeah, that's worthy of one's time because you're invested in the serialization of it. And like you say, the movies, they were a win-win, whatever. It's like Mahershala Ali and Glenn Close just starred in this one sci-fi drama that came out. And like you say, some of the other movies, is like, if you didn't hear about them right away, don't worry, you'll hear about them later, because they're going to probably sweep the award shows, or they're going to have a big name star that is just irrefusable. You're going to have to see.
And that's why I love Apple TV Plus too. All these famous actors are joining them. Did you see their ads where they said everyone but John Hamm's on it?
Yes. Yeah. I did see that. Yeah. I did see that.
That was funny.
They got Jared Leto, and he doesn't do streaming. They got Tom Hanks, who doesn't really do streaming.
Yeah, exactly.
They saw something. because it's good quality content.
Even if the movie is bad, there was a few that were rough when they first started, like The Banker and with Sam Jackson that got basically lampooned because there was a scandal involving the real life subject that they had adapted. Cherry with Tom Holland wasn't very good, but I can see why they did it, because they, again, it was made by some, you know, the Russo brothers who do all the Marvel films and Community. And it's like, it wasn't a bad investment. I can't blame any of them for buying what they bought, what they made, what they produced, versus Netflix, where, again, like you see, like I was watching Gunpowder Milkshake, and that just looked like a very cheap red camera. There was a bunch of times where the 1080 just seemed to be just kind of sparkling, like there was a, you know, glitch with my setup, and I rewound just to make sure. I'm like, nope, that's part of the movie. Part of the movie. The blooper is in the movie, and it's nothing to do with continuity or a, you know, out of focus shot. It's a weird technical gag that should not be there millions of dollars later. And it's just like you guys say, it's just so frustrating that we're having to kind of police ourselves more. And it's kind of like the Blu-ray companies were for a while. Everyone was doing a guess of who would do kind of a cheap remaster and who would legit do a definitive remaster by taking all the elements and making sure they looked perfect for whatever 4K TV you had. So it's just, you got to go to more than just review sites now. Now you got to even ask your friends. It's like, are you watching anything on there? No, not really. Or, oh, absolutely. You positively, it's an investment, and try it for free 1 month. And it used to be it was kind of like the video store where you would have to remind yourself, oh, I got to take the tapes back, or I got to take the disc back to this and that. And so, I mean, that's why it was so cool to have something like Redbox, because they had figured out Blockbuster by the time Blockbuster was folding its tent, and in that you can buy or rent the disc or the video game anywhere, and you can return it anywhere. You just got to remember when to watch it and everything. And it's just now we're to the point where we not only have to remember what we want to subscribe or cancel, but now we got to remember why we're even investing in any of it to begin with if we're not using it. So it's this is definitely an interesting predicament, like you guys have all outlined. Thank you all so much for being on here, and I'm gonna let you guys plug your shows real fast. So Danilo, what do you got coming up on Galaxy of Film?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a blast talking about streaming services.
Absolutely.
It's one of those quirky topics where it's always talked about, but never given like the spotlight that it actually deserves. So yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm from Galaxy of Film, co-host there. I'm joined with Max Wood. You can follow us on every social media platform, just Galaxy of Film. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel, Galaxy of Film Productions. We have short films that we drop. We have vlogs that we drop. And Max does side projects on there as well. So be sure to check it all out. We got good stuff coming down.
Busy.
We are always busy, yes.
It's so hard to get any sleep. It's like 5-hour power nap and then got to edit these 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, Curtis, what can we expect from Indie Filmmaker Podcasters Unite?
Well, this Saturday, I'm putting on a show by that name. It's going to bring together podcasts from all around the world into one episode. It's going to be live.
So you're independent. You're the independent film channel of podcasts.
Sure.
The IFC. But more relevant than IFC. That's my joke.
And it's a good one. IPC.
No, wow. IFC.
IFC.
Independent Film Channel. Remember, they were kind of a hot thing, and now they kind of...
No, I don't want to be like them then. Nope. Hopefully. So...
I'm just saying you're more deserving of the title than them.
Thank you.
They're not making good use of their title.
Thank you very much.
They don't play independent films anymore. They play mainstream movies on what's supposed to be independent.
Shame on them. Stick to the name, otherwise.
Stick to their name, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be this weekend. I have one of my cards here, title cards. It's going to be a big show. So I've got some great guests, some great cameos. I'm not sure if any of you have cameos in it. I'm sure I reached out to... I never actually heard of Danilo's show. I'll reach out to you.
No, I'm just kidding. It's all good.
Offending the other guests. What the fuck?
I want to thank... you, Cam, for getting in touch with me.
Thank you guys for scheduling this. This was actually convenient for all of us.
And Danilo, I'm going to be in touch.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, Galaxy of Film will be in touch with you as well. Yeah, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you too.
Alrighty. Thanks. Everyone, keep kicking ass, and let's have a safe summer.
Awesome. Have a good one, guys.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.